please bow your heads in a prayer for understanding? Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Excuse me. This morning's verse is Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 12, and it's entitled The Message. You pushed me into this, God, and I let you do it. You were too much for me, and now I'm a public joke. They all poke fun at me. Every time I open my mouth, I'm shouting murder or rape, and all I get from my God warnings are insults and contempt. But if I say forget it, no more God messages from me, the words are fire in my belly, a burning in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it any longer. Then I hear whispering behind my back. There goes old danger everywhere. Shut him up and report him. Old friends watch, hoping I'll fall flat on my face. One misstep and we'll have him. We'll get rid of him for good. But God, a most fierce warrior, is at my side. Those who are after me will be sent sprawling, slapstick buffoons falling all over themselves, a spectacle of humiliation no one will ever forget. O God of the angel armies, no one fools you. You see through everyone, everything. I want to see you pay them back for what they've done. I rest my case with you.
No strange names or anything like that. Well, nobody likes a complainer. Who likes to be around someone who's complaining all the time, belly aching, constantly criticizing others or some situation? It just wears you out, doesn't it, to be around people who are constantly criticizing and complaining. Often it's hard to even just get their voice out of your head. Our pet answer to these complainers is, look on the bright side. Like the army mess officer who was serving a meal, and the soldiers were complaining about the total lack of freshness of the bread being served. And the cook said, look on the bright side. If Napoleon had had this bread when he was crossing the Alps, he would have eaten it with delight. And then the corporal said, yeah, but it was fresh then. Maybe it feels like there are times or events or situations with no bright side, and maybe complaining feels like our only alternative. But like I said, we certainly don't want to fall into a complainer's lifestyle where that defines who we are. Beyond allowing it to become a part of who we are, the question needs asking, is it okay to complain? But then there's a bigger question here. Is it okay to complain to God? It seems to me that somewhere along the way we inflicted this taboo upon ourselves that it's not right to complain to God. We feel almost instantly guilty about complaining to the management about the management. I was talking with one guy that was out in the Tribune Church that I served a number of years ago, and he was rattling off story after story about how he would complain, but he would take it right to the top. He would immediately call the president of the company that he was complaining to, and would always go right to the top. But I think when it comes to God, we're afraid to even get into God's front yard if we have a complaint or we feel like we have a complaint against God. We don't feel quite as comfortable dialing up God and letting him know we're not happy with him. When you read the Bible, though, especially the Old Testament, taking complaints right into the face of God is a pretty common practice. Going toe-to-toe with God was fairly common. And you even get the idea that God kind of enjoyed some of those conversations when people tried to take him to task. It was a way that God kind of allowed a weird sort of closeness with the people who were following him. God gave the people freedom to walk right up to him and tell him they didn't like how he was running things. And people allowed God the freedom to complain to them right back. What happened to that sense of freedom and that lively kind of interchange that people once had with God? There was a man who went to Weight Watchers meeting, and he thought he was the only guy there, and finally he spied another guy across the room, so he goes over to the guy and he asks, "Do you feel as uncomfortable as I do being the only guy here at this Weight Watchers meeting?" "Oh, no," the other guy said. "This is the only place where I can ask a woman about her weight and not worry about being slapped in the face." Jeremiah is a great example of one of those Old Testament characters who feel like there's no taboo of just walking right up to God and getting into God's grill, so to speak, with a complaint. And Jeremiah even seems fairly confident about talking to God in that way. He's confident in his relationship with God, a confidence in that relationship that allows him the sense of freedom to take God to task if he feels like that's what he needs to do. Though there is some heat and frustration in Jeremiah's words and tone, you get a clear sense from these words that Jeremiah had a great friendship with God, and that when he complained to God, he was complaining within the midst of that friendship that he had already built with God. The complaining is done between two friends. But it also feels like they become friends because they've heard each other's complaints and they've established that friendship and the freedom that that friendship allows. So this is the first point in how to complain to God. Jeremiah felt he had permission by God to complain when he felt like he needed to do it. It is possible that Jeremiah didn't care if God gave him permission or not. It kind of sounds like Jeremiah would have taken God to task anyway, but still God gave him the permission to say some hard things that he was feeling about God. I think by allowing Jeremiah to come to him, God is being approachable. Even when we're angry, even when we're frustrated, even when we're in this complaining mood, God's big enough to take it on. Notice that God never came back at Jeremiah, slapping him down for complaining here. He didn't take on this Mr. T personae, shouting back at Jeremiah, "What you doing, fool?" Back talking God like that. God listened silently and caringly, and God listened. So let's take a look at Jeremiah's complaint, both its content and tone. The first thing Jeremiah does is blame God for his frustration. "You pushed me into this, God," Jeremiah says. Other versions have Jeremiah saying to God, "You deceived me." And the word deceived here in the Hebrew is a powerful word that can be translated as harassed, taken advantage of, enticed, duped, and in the extreme, as Peterson has translated in The Message, in a certain context, it can even mean raped. Imagine saying that to God. "You raped me, God. You took total advantage of me. You overpowered me. You abused me." To understand what's going on here in Jeremiah's complaint, we have to go back to the first chapter of Jeremiah. There we hear the promises that God made to Jeremiah about what Jeremiah's ministry was going to be all about. God starts out by telling Jeremiah things like, "I knew all about you. I've had holy plans for you from the day you were born. I'll be right there looking after you as I always have." And in Jeremiah's mind, now in chapter 20, in his complaint, God seems to him like he's a used car salesman or something. He made these big promises, pretending to be Jeremiah's best buddy, throw out assurances about the product that were totally untrue. I think it's important to remember here that Jeremiah is a teenager. A lot of people don't know that. He's probably 17, 18 years old. And you know how teenagers are. What they choose to hear, what they choose not to hear, how they hear things at all, putting their own teenage spin on things. God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, don't be afraid of a soul. Maybe Jeremiah heard, man, you're going to have total power over everyone. God said, I'll be right there. And Jeremiah may have heard, man, you will never be lonely. God said, I put my words in your mouth. And maybe Jeremiah heard, you are God's right-hand man. God said, your job is to pull up and to tear down. And maybe Jeremiah heard, you're going to have extreme power. You're going to be like a superhero. And by chapter 20, the reality of what God was really saying is finally starting to sink into Jeremiah's teenaged brain. Now, as I've said before, Jeremiah's feeling like God is just this used car salesman. God showed Jeremiah this shiny new mission. Man, this is going to be great just for you and provide all kinds of neat things. Power, mobility, influence, prestige. It's got it all, man. Whatever Jeremiah thought God was selling back there in chapter 1, Jeremiah bought it. It isn't the purchase price that Jeremiah seems like he's complaining about. It's that continual week after week expense, you know, after you bought your shiny new thing, whatever it is. To Jeremiah, it was like God had sold him a lemon, and Jeremiah's had enough. And so Jeremiah starts complaining. And Jeremiah realizes to his credit, you know, that there's another person here he's got to complain about or to. Himself. You push me into this, God, Jeremiah says. That's the finger that he points at God. But then Jeremiah continues, and I let you do it. What's important to remember about complaining is that you have to make sure you direct your complaint to the right person. Don't complain to your spouse about someone else being an idiot. Your spouse can't do anything about what happened between you and the idiot. That's your task. Take it to the person who needs to hear it. And often that person is yourself. There are times when the proper complaining statement is not, why are you doing that to me? The proper statement is, why am I allowing you to do this to me? Do you hear the difference? It's one thing for someone to kick all the time at your personal boundaries, and you can say, why are you doing that? But it's another thing to say, why am I letting you do this? What's wrong with me? When will you finally get to the point where you finally say, enough, I'm done. I'm not going to let you kick me around anymore. That's what Jeremiah is struggling with as he complains to God. Jeremiah is complaining to God for sure, but Jeremiah is also complaining to himself, for allowing himself to get himself involved in something that now is really difficult and he doesn't like. And he doesn't like himself in the situation that God has asked him to do. But how do you say no to God in the first place? God is too persuasive. We, like Jeremiah, when God comes to us with some big idea, we're so ready to say, yeah, this is going to be great. We assume since it's God, everything is going to be great. And then when it isn't great, as we thought, who should our complaint actually be aimed at? Jeremiah takes his complaint to God, yeah, but he also recognizes he has some responsibility. And isn't that what's behind Jeremiah's complaining to God? Lot didn't quite turn out as he expected. The mission from God didn't turn out to be this great power trip that Jeremiah thought it was going to be. The messages that God gave Jeremiah didn't elicit the expected response from the people. Instead, it opened him up to personal ridicule and abuse, insults, contempt. Jeremiah, instead of feeling like a superhero, is feeling like a public joke. Instead of people being in awe of Jeremiah and his message, they're poking fun at him and telling him, shut this guy up. Instead of overhearing people say, man, there goes Jeremiah, he is cool. Instead, they're saying, there goes old danger everywhere, danger. In the Peanuts comic strip, Lucy comes up to her brother Linus and says, look what I've done for you. I've made a list of all the things that you need to change in your life so that you'll be a better person. Linus takes the list from her and says, wow, this is a great list. You know how nice this is? I'm going to make great use of this list. And then in the next frame, Lucy continues saying, and he says to Lucy, you know, I'm going to try very hard to improve. Thanks for this list. And then he says to her, you know, I feel like I'm getting better already. And then in the next frame, he's laughing uproariously. Ha, 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 ha. Crumples up the list and throws it over her shoulder. And then Lucy goes over to the crumpled list and looks down at it and says, you know, reformers have a hard time in life. That's what Jeremiah is feeling. This great list of improvements that he's written up for all the people has been crumpled and tossed over their shoulder, and they laughed at him. And he's going, what have I gotten myself into? Jeremiah is not a negative gloom and doom kind of person like a lot of people think. But his message was, the message that God gave him was, so the confrontation of the person of Jeremiah and his unpopular and negative message that he's been given by God kind of come and butt heads with each other. At some point, the messenger, the message, and the audience interact, and the audience choose denial and insults. Somebody shut this guy up. And that's all he heard. My favorite comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin turns off the TV with the remote control, and then he stares at it for a minute, and he goes over to his dad, who's reading the newspaper in his chair, and he pushes the off button while he's aiming it at his dad. And then he shakes his head and walks off, and his dad says, what was that all about? And that's the way Jeremiah felt the people were reacting to him and his message. They just wanted to push the mute button or the off button on the fader thing and turn the preacher off. Maybe Jeremiah wanted to aim that thing at God and turn him off too. But God said, that's okay. I know it's going to be tough, but it's the mission I gave you. As I mentioned earlier, it's in the ongoing relationship that a person establishes with God so that complaining is simply a part of your larger and ongoing relationship and friendship with God. It is that ongoing relationship and conversation that people never seriously take the time to develop with God. They'd rather just kind of grab God by the collar and shake him sometimes, but not have the other relationship that they need to make that confrontation meaningful. But God is faithful in that ongoing conversation. God is faithful to listen to our complaints, help us work our way through those. So if you're going to complain to God, go ahead. God's big enough to take it. But have a good relationship with God in the first place. That's what's important. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes life is hard and we feel like taking you by the collar and shaking you around and asking you why. And sometimes we do that. And we're so thankful that you allow us to do that, that you are as big as the universe, but you are as loving and approachable to us as a father or mother, grandfather or grandmother, coming to us and saying, tell me where you're hurting and let's work through this. So thank you, God, for being that kind of God for us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.